Welcome to East Meets West.
West?
Where Roger could be wrong.
It could be.
It's episode 96.
Or 69. If you vert it, it's still 96, huh?
It's 96. Unless you want to numerology it, and then it's 6.
Because
you add the 9 and the 6 to get 15, and then you add the 1 and the 5, and you end up with 6.
Always. Wow.
That's how the numerology works.
Numerology.
So you were just pondering why elves have pointed ears?
Yeah, I always thought that was just an attribute given by Tolkien when he described them, but not. I'm not sure, you know, back in the lands and time far forgotten.
You don't think that the pointed ears are historically accurate?
I don't know. There's like a, you know, house elves and different sprites.
House elves, yeah, those are way back in history.
Yeah.
The house elf.
Yeah. I mean, like...
From Harry Potter?
Well, she borrowed it from that, but you know how a lot of the things that happen. For example, we explain our missing socks when we pull them out of the dryer. Like you never get an exact pair.
Elves took them.
Or you know, today we call it just a quantum singularity potential.
Right.
You know
right.
that it fell into. Although that's poppycock too.
According to Wikipedia, an elf is a creature of Germanic mythology. The elves were originally a race of minor nature and fertility gods, who are often pictured as youthful-seeming men and women of great beauty living in forests.
Youthful-seeming? What?
Youthful-seeming.
Oh.
Living in forests and underground places and caves.
Yeah.
No. And then it goes right into the Lord of the Rings.
But there's no pointed ears or anything like that.
Pretty much you get them in Danish, Dutch, English, German, Icelandic, Old Norse, Swedish, and Norwegian.
Basically Europe.
Northern Europe.
Yeah, Northern Europe.
Yeah, it's all the same to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
To you, like... Italy's the same as Denmark. You can't tell the difference, can you?
Nah. One just has pasta and one has boiled fish.
I like boiled fish.
Or is it pickled? Herring.
Pickled herring. Mmm.
You know, the first time I saw that, it was at some sort of cultural thing. I usually blank out when I hear the name. But they had these pickled herrings, and I thought, oh, you like get to feed sea lions or something with it. And I didn't realize it was like an actual dish.
Actually,
because it reminds me when I used to go to SeaWorld. You used to be able to feed the dolphins and killer whales and sea lions. You'd pay like $5 and they give you like
chopped up fish. Yeah.
No, it was a whole, it was like a gutted but whole herring and you just fling it at them.
I had a nice trout last night for dinner.
Was it pickled?
And no, it wasn't, but they sold it at Safeway with the skin on and the head.
Yeah.
Like the whole fish.
Yeah.
Well, at Safeway, they don't always do that.
Yeah, no, they do. Well, which Safeway do you go to?
I went to the one in Montclair. I generally don't go to Safeway all that often, or if I do, I go to the one in
Well, if you went
Oakland.
To the more ethnically...
Well, the one in Montclair is the one that had the fish with the eyes. The one down in Oakland doesn't.
It's funny because you never used to see that unless you went to it. When I was growing up in San Francisco, you never saw it unless you went to a Chinese supermarket.
Yeah.
And then recently, like when I... came back here up in 96, I started to see select fish. Salmon, of course, they sell by fillets. You know, they don't sell the whole fish. But like
big fish, so they usually cut it up.
But herring and stuff, where they leave the heads on.
Yeah, this was good trout, though. And I like having the eyes on it. You know, I like to eat pickled herring with some, like, creamy cheese, like a brie or camembert.
To cover the taste?
And then, just as an augment. Just because you eat something with something else does not mean you're trying to cover up the taste of one thing or the other. Don't you ever mix foods?
Only when I need to cover up the taste with something else.
So you never put sauce on anything that would taste okay otherwise?
No, I don't.
You don't eat a hamburger, ever.
I eat a hamburger, but...
with nothing on it. You don't put bread on it? You just eat the burger?
I use it to hide the taste of the bread.
Well, you could just eat it without the bread.
But I need the bread because it's enriched with vitamins I normally don't get from my
diet. So, there is another reason to eat something with something else besides just covering up the taste.
Well, you were talking about taste.
I like pickled herring with cheese. And you're like, to cover up the taste? No, they complement each other.
Oh, you could eat them at separate intervals. I mean, I'm just saying.
What, you eat all your foods totally separate? You never mix anything together? You don't eat pasta with tomato sauce on it? Or are you trying to cover up the taste of the pasta?
Exactly.
Why don't you just eat the sauce then?
I could, but it's too strong. See, they cross cover each other.
So what you're calling covering up is what the rest of us call tastes good.
Oh, okay.
You're so negative, Roger.
Oh. Yeah.
You never eat sushi?
Yes, I eat sushi.
Was it the rice is just covering up the taste of the sushi, or vice versa?
I don't know. I think it's polite. If I start picking at it, the people would be upset. Now, wouldn't they? Something wrong with my food? Why do you pick at it?
Why do you pick at my food, Chang?
I don't know. This rice seems awfully funny to me.
You don't like fried foods either, I know.
Generally, I avoid them unless it's...
They're just bad for you, though. They taste good.
You know
good.
What's... I was reading this article in the Telegraph, the UK Telegraph.
Uh-huh.
Is there something about cooked food leading to higher rates of breast and cervical cancer in women?
Cooked food, not just
cooked.
Fried food, but cooked food.
Any cooked.
Huh.
So I'm thinking...
Well, you know, that's the whole thing behind the raw food movement.
Yeah, no.
That cooking ruins the vitamins and causes carcinogens.
So I'm just thinking, because the reason why, you know, you usually go with, well, at least when you eat meat, it's another reason why they go vegan. The reason you cook meat is not only to make it easier to eat,
yeah,
but also to sterilize and eliminate some, you know, the harmful bacteria.
True,
and stuff.
True. I have also heard that we like cooked meat because it simulates how it tasted out of a fresh kill when the animal was still warm.
I've always read
that theory. I don't know.
The way I understood the way cooked food came about was when hunter gatherers, you know, our progenitors, ancestors long ago, some of the easiest ways to get game was after a wildfire, right?
Ah,
and they would follow, and they would find all these animals burnt up, and hey, you know.
And they're like, hey, it tastes good.
It's easier to chew, and you know what I mean?
Huh. Yeah.
So there was, some anthropologists believe that, you know, these, you know, because a majority of their diet would be either, you know, whatever they could gather and whatever to hunt, but as soon as, you know, they see a fire and they learn how to cultivate fire, I think they use that.
The meat is warm,
yeah,
fresh out of an animal, and then it toughens up as it cools.
Well, that's true.
So the warming does kind of bring it back to that state. But I never heard the burning.
Well, like after, like, you know,
like
grass
fire thing.
Grass fire made it easier. I mean, you animals get burned
sure.
all the time.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's
like you come
it's
across.
It's like the progenitor of barbecue right
yeah,
there.
Well, that, and it's easy to get, right? It's like a surf and turf.
Totally.
Hey, look, it's cooked. You know, medium well. This one only got cooked on one side.
Well, yeah, you would just walk. How far you walk into the burn zone is how well you like your meat done.
Yeah, exactly.
He's always walking right to the dead center. That guy likes his meat charred.
Mm. But, you know, supposedly anything that's charred or whether it has carcinogens in it.
Well, yeah.
And deep frying.
Makes sense.
I guess a Swedish, I don't know, a Swedish.
Swedish?
Swedish medical journal.
Oh,
I don't know how reliable that is. Did a study on fried starches, and they found out that, you know, the more you fry or – I'm not sure they said cookie. They said deep fry, so like potato chips, French fries – cooked in that manner had more carcinogens in it.
Of course, they're finding that the causes of cancer aren't the carcinogens. The carcinogens affect the chances of getting cancer, yeah, but your genetic makeup has a lot to do with cancer. They're also finding out that cancer does tend to behave like a communicable disease in some cases. Dogs can give each other cancer.
Hmm. How?
The same way it metastasizes,
uh-huh,
it can actually travel in air droplets.
See, I'm wondering if that has something to do with
and feces
with signals like
protein signals,
like, basically telling the body
leukocytes
to do,
and all that stuff.
It could just be nature's way of thinning the herd, so to speak.
Yeah, but I think what they're finding is you can't just say X causes cancer.
Yeah,
that it's
no.
Really,
they,
if you're going to cure cancer, you're going to have to cure the genetic predisposition to
but
it.
The thing is,
some people have the genetic makeup that lowers their risk of cancer to near zero. And what they're trying to track down is what is that genetic makeup.
Yeah, but you also have to understand cancer isn't exactly one illness.
It's similar to consumption.
Yes,
back in the day. That's my favorite example.
Or dementia.
Dementia is a little
more
specific.
Do we ever come to agreement on that?
Actually, I think we have a comment. Should we go into the comments then?
Well, let's. What else?
Huh?
Oh no! I said, did we want to? Oh wait, it's in the comments about the whole, you know.
Oh, the GameSpot stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get to it in the comments. Punter Joe says, another inspired ramble. Roger sounds like he's practicing to be a Fox News guest commentator.
No, not.
He's got that random combative thing down.
It's not. I'm not going to be a guest. I'm going to be on it as the host.
You were in a rare mood last episode, I have to
say. But see what happens when you don't cook food?
Interesting thoughts on urban sprawl. I'm a boonie dweller and plan to remain so. My rent is about a quarter what it would be if I lived closer to work. And even factoring in the $500 a month commuting expenses, I still come ahead, at least as I do the math.
But see, that's the thing. You're calculating on pure monetary scale. What
well,
are you
I don't
talking?
Know how he's calculating it.
Well, but that's what, well, that's what I'm saying. But he's factoring in as a solely a monetary value, where some people argue if you factor in some of the psychological health benefits as well.
Just put a dollar amount on those. Yeah. Come on.
You could.
He says, I live at the very edge of the commuter rail system, and my commute range is between 90 and 180 minutes each way. Depending on connections and service glitches, I get a lot of podcast listening and viewing done. Tech helps me leverage a lot of work. As the amount of productivity expected from us all increases, creative use of tools available help me make it possible. The time spent on the train is productive work time. I get more done on the ride and that than do in the same amount of time spent working. We're fighting over resources, waiting for a workstation, queuing for a printer, and interacting with coworkers really throttles productivity. And since I live 50 miles from work, I'm seldom the first person called when there's an emergency. I guess that's another benefit.
Are like, so at work, you have to have some sort of gladiatorial games to see who gets to work?
That's to see who gets a workstation. I know, that's pretty interesting. Though many times I have talked to people off the ledge over the phone, very much like those old disaster movies where the passenger lands the jumbo jet with coaching from the tower. As far as I'm concerned, boonies rule. And then he wants to know if we have any big plans for the centenary episode. Wait, centenary is 100 years. What's the term for 100th? How about sentient?
Sentient episode? The first one where we show some signs of intelligence?
Our centurion episode?
Yeah, we could all talk with Cylon voices and say, by your command.
By your command. Did you see that in Razor?
Yes.
Where they
yes.
had the whole by your
did you
command?
See, did you see the homage to the A-Team, and particularly Dirk Benedict?
Yes.
When she
I
said,
caught that.
I love it when
a plan comes
no
together.
One, I said that out loud in the theater.
I know, yeah.
No one caught on to it because everyone's watched it and they've never seen the original series. I asked all these people, I never watched the original, except for one guy. And it's so disappointing because people think that the new one is like far superior than the original?
In some ways it is.
It is, but I think it's just different.
But it doesn't mean I don't like the old one. I do.
The old one is great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I totally agree with
all
you.
The special effects, John Dykstra, he did the Star Wars. They had a lot of help from Hughes Aircraft to develop the cockpit for the Vipers, as well as the battle terminals up on the bridge
for
of the Galactic.
For a TV show of its day, it was huge.
It was the most expensive TV show. That's why if you ever watched, they reuse a lot of the fighter footage because they shot it once and reused a billion times.
And they just
times.
Cut it back in over and over again. Cool B's got some crazy comments once again. He says, I rarely watch movies on TV if I have them on DVD. I figure if I own a movie, I'll watch it when I want without commercials. That, and since I work the night shift, most of the time movies come on TV when I'm getting ready for work. See, now I have them on DVD, but I just don't think to go get them out and put them in the machine.
Because
but
you really don't want to watch
it. If they pop up on screen, I watch them. I watched Star Wars Empire Strikes Back on Saturday morning exactly that way. We own it. We haven't thought to go pop it in, but it was on the TV as we were flipping around. We both settled in and watched the whole thing.
You know, one of these days, he's going to actually release an unbastardized version of those. And then,
they did, didn't they? Isn't that the gray box? It's the gold box is the digitally enhanced ones, and then the gray box are the unremastered.
I thought that was the one that was remastered the first time when they re-released them in the theaters, but didn't have the added stuff that he did later.
I thought the gold box was the stuff he added later, and then the gray box was the original versions.
Hmm.
While you check Coolby's number two comment, I'm with Tom. Most of the time, I'd rather see a story or character developing scene in a movie than an action scene, but I do like action as well, just as long as the action is there to move the story along, and definitely not having an inkling of a story there just for an excuse to have more action. Cough, Transformers, cough.
Well, see, that's the thing, is if I'm just going to pop in on a movie and I haven't got to the – if I didn't get there early enough to get to the beginning of the story, it doesn't matter to me what the story is anymore. I just want to see something blow up or fight.
Number three, I've never seen Journeyman, so I can't say how it compares to Quantum Leap in the following regard. However, I think one of the things that made Quantum Leap great despite any cheesiness was the chemistry between Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell. Journeyman's plot is similar to Quantum Leap, but the tone and tenor of the show are totally different. It's much more serious, much more of a drama.
The gray box, it seems, is the widescreen edition with bonus disc. I'm trying to find the gold one.
You know which one I'm talking about, though.
Yeah,
right?
And I've seen it in the stores, but they don't have a bronzed edition like they do Hawaiian Sun Tropics models.
Jorge says, city and suburban are like red wine and white wine. Some people like, Some people don't.
I don't like red.
Some people need the city noise as a motivation to keep going, while some need the quietness of suburbia. As a person that lives in the city and feels angry every time a restaurant becomes another brunch of Jamba Juice, city life can be tough. But then again, without the diversity of thought, race, etc., I'd feel trapped. Life in the suburbs can be quite boring and stressful, with every single person gossiping about what the neighbor is doing.
Actually, I've never had that issue in my suburb. It was just very distant. I knew my next-door neighbor, and yeah, that was it.
People gossip with each other, maybe, behind your back.
Maybe the women.
Also, Details Magazine talked about in their November issue.
I read that. That was very interesting. It basically said as a lot of the people that make the urban or the city urban hip and cool are the same ones moving out, and they're just bringing that urban cool chic out to the suburbs.
I think it is generational.
It could be.
I think, you know, as people get older, they start to want to move out to the suburbs and slow down, but they don't necessarily give up what they like about it, so they take it with them.
Yeah.
And then that becomes more traditional in a way, and there's different things in the city created by the youth.
The article listed, like, for example, those independent strip malls where you find, like, you know, an Indian restaurant, you know, like, you know, maybe a new age kind of temple, and then you know, you got a yoga, and like all these diverse things that you never really think put together, just put there because
I thought that was just a California thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Elcars OS says, Tom, I cannot believe that you said there is more carbon dioxide in the air with humans on the earth than before. I have two arguments. Take your pick. How do we know how much CO2 was in the air before we had exact CO2 sensing devices? Don't tell me we take samples from the earth's crust because we have no idea what kind of contaminants have gotten into that supply.
Don't they get it from the ice?
Yeah. He doesn't buy that. Mm-hmm. So we can't prove it to you, Elcars OS, because if you don't believe ice core samples, then you're not going to believe anything.
Although, you also have to wonder, I mean, like, if ice shifted, there's a whole bunch of other debate on that.
Mostly, though, you can trust ice core samples. They are fairly intact and a fairly reliable
Oh, no, no, I understand, but also, yeah.
Going with Roger's argument, volcanoes are continuously spewing CO2 into the atmosphere. It stands to reason that they are going to keep spewing whether humans are there or not. It's not as if the existence of humans quiets the volcanoes to leave our influence being the only one.
I say that's not true because if we follow what our ancestors did and did a human sacrifice to appease the gods, you know what? I'd actually like to take a group of sanctimonious people and just drop them straight in.
That might help everyone.
Yes.
Actually.
And, you know, it doesn't matter what political stripe, just because they're sanctimonious.
Yeah. No, I think you can. I don't think his argument is valid, though, because, yes, we do have volcanoes continuously spewing CO2, and yet we still have more CO2 in the atmosphere now than we have ever had before. We are increasing the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. Frankly, if there is a debate left, it's whether that's having the effect that people are saying it is. I think it is.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know,
ICPCC and the concerned scientists are 95% certain that we are having a warming effect at this point. Is that your ringtone? I can totally hear that through the headphones. I don't know if you could hear it on the podcast, but it's the Doctor Who TARDIS sound. Do you need to take a call?
Hello?
No. What, are you trying to get us a sponsor?
No.
You picked up a call from a telemarketer to interrupt our podcast?
Because
you knew who it was. I thought somebody died.
I wish. Now it's just a freaking carpet cleaning service. Whoever gave out my number will now pay the price.
Jeremy says, I have the same. I have the DVD, but the movie is on TV now problem. It's especially prevalent with Star Wars, see? And M. Night Shyamalan movies. I watched Shyamalan? Sixth Sense the other day.
I thought it was Shyamalan.
I don't know. I say his name wrong, and I apologize, Mr. Knight S., but you make good movies. Dave Broadback says...
What? Go back? What did you just say?
I like Shyamalan's movies.
Uh-huh.
Shyamalan. Uh-huh. I like M. Night's movies.
Yeah, like which one?
I like Sixth Sense. I liked... what was the alien movie? It was called...
Signs?
Yeah, I liked Signs.
You like Signs?
They're entertaining.
Yeah, I guess.
They're not great works of literature, okay? They're not a
Clockwork
Orange.
They're movies. They won't be literature.
They're for fun.
What is even that?
Dave Broadbeck says, if I'm not mistaken, you can get a pretty good reading of CO2 levels at various times by looking at the air bubbles in ice. By the way, that whole schizophrenia versus MPD discussion is near and dear to me. As a psychology professor, I usually tell students there are perhaps two things I would like them to take away from our psych program. Number one, schizophrenia is not MPD. And number two, Freud was a crackhead from Vienna that had about as much to do with science as, oh, say, will it float on Letterman.
Ooh, I agree.
Harsh words for Freud.
Well, no, that's interesting because a lot of what Freud, supposedly Freud founded, was disproven over the last decade.
Yeah.
In terms of psychology.
A lot of people still believe in the method, like, for reasons different than even what Freud
He's
said.
He's a guy, all right? He's not some freaking messiah. Jeez.
He also says MPD may not even exist.
Multiple, it could be. Maybe they're just really good
Scott
actors.
Scott H. wants to know if we've seen the Christmas special Doctor Who, where number 5 meets number 10. I haven't watched it yet. Have you?
The children? I don't know.
Have you watched it?
No.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
Where is it?
It's on YouTube. Link.
I don't want to watch it on YouTube.
It will come out on Sci-Fi in like a year.
I'll find it somewhere.
Dave also says, Tom, you are essentially correct about how Ritalin works on ADHD. ADHD is essentially a disorder of executive functioning. We all, those of us who have a normally working central executive, stay on task. People with ADHD don't. So what happens is the increase in transmitter levels helps the poorly functioning executive work better. Autism, another disorder of executive functioning, can be seen as pretty much the opposite. The executive over-concentrates on some type of stimulus. Of course, there are a couple of other things about autism, too. While some see Ritalin as drugging kids to calm them, I usually ask them, then how does it rid kids of the hyperactivity if it is a stimulant? Of course, we could just give them buckets of coffee. I kid. For those interested in neuropharmacology, I have a podcast class on the topic.
Podcasted.
I won't try to read the link, but it's at his blog at people.auc.ca. Go to sabrilliant.com/EMW to his comment on episode 95 to get the link.
What's AUC? What college is that?
He also says on the environmental stuff, Donald Hebb, the father of cognitive neuroscience and a Canadian, once said, determining how much of some characteristic is due to genetics and how much is due to the environment is like asking how much of the area of a field is due to length and how much is due to width. Probably my all-time favorite quote by a psychologist. That's the whole nature versus nurture argument.
Algoma University College.
Here's the comment on dementia. My 86-year-old mom was officially diagnosed with dementia this year and is on a med called Aricept. It's a handy diagnosis because you don't have to identify the cause, and the MD can still write a prescription. Very interesting.
Yes, in hindsight, she probably had reduced mental capacity for a while.
All right, let's skip down to, there's about 6 comments about Jeff Gerstmann.
Jeff Gerstmann.
Wondering if I can comment on it and if Roger can comment on it, since Roger used to work at GameSpot.
Yes.
You worked with Jeff, right?
Yeah, I worked for him for the time.
Anybody who doesn't know, Jeff Gerstmann was let go by GameSpot last week, and there is a bunch of rumors on the web that he was let go because an advertiser complained. I can only say the stuff that I would know if I didn't work here. I don't really know that much else anyway, but I can say that CNET has said they have not fired anyone ever because of outside pressure from an advertiser.
Mm-hmm.
They will not discuss the reasonings for his firing. And that is pretty normal for people to not want to discuss someone's firing if, you know, what if that I said this on Buzz Out Loud, too. You can just go listen to that to get most of it. But, I mean, if the person was shooting up drugs or stealing or something, they don't make that stuff public. Don't think that's the case in this point, but I don't know. You can speak more freely than I can on this.
I mean, I'm pretty much in the dark. I mean, I worked with him, so I mean, I've never had the feeling that any of his reviews were inappropriate in that manner. So I can't get a word out of anyone I still know there. So all I can say is, you know, maybe the rumors are true, maybe they aren't. I mean, I can't. I really don't know.
Frankly, the rumor that he got fired because an advertiser called and complained is not true. I mean, I will say that. I don't know for certain, but my guess is 95% it is not true. He was let go for some other reason, and I don't know what that reason is. I looked at his video that they pulled down, and I didn't see much of an issue with it. It was very critical, kind of harsh on a game that seemed like it deserved it, but I didn't see much wrong with it. So I don't know what really went on.
And of course, you know, there's this kind of growing outcry amongst the gaming community about this. 1UP was out here outside your building.
Yeah, I guess December 8th they're planning to come back. Is 1UP part of that, or is that somebody
else?
I have
no idea. I don't know if that's set up through 1UP or just set up as in general, you know, for everyone to show up. So I don't know. It's kind of weird because, you know, having Tom and I having been in a position of editorial, you know, content creation as well as management. We know how certain things can and cannot be. But like at our time at Tech TV, we've had a couple of those issues, but all of those were internal. Those were like, those weren't from outside.
Yeah, that's why I say like advertisers generally don't call and get somebody fired. That just
doesn't happen. Is they pull out their advertisements and not, you know.
Well, if stuff like that happens, and I'm speaking in the theoretical here, if stuff like that happens, it happens more subtly. It happens where the business end of things starts to put pressure on the editorial end of things to change how it works. And that's really a lot more dangerous because nobody is going to be so stupid as to fire somebody because Sony called and complained about it. But what they will do is try to influence editorial so that they get as few of those calls as possible, mm-hmm. or at least they'll try to. Big firewall about that stuff, or there's not. I don't know what it's like over at GameSpot because, as I mentioned on Buzz Out Loud, it's a totally separate business unit. I don't interact with them. I know at CNET.com, I don't hear what the advertisers are saying about the stuff that I do. And that is on purpose. I'm sure my boss hears a little bit of it, and I know salespeople probably hear it, and I'm assuming it happens because I say critical things sometimes, but I don't ever hear it.
Yeah, it's it is one of those things that at least in a publication supported by ad revenue, that's
it's always attention, yeah.
And, one of the ways that, a couple of publishers have found to steer clear of this, do advertising that's not directly related to the
non-endemic
content.
Advertising.
So it's like, hey, you have a computer magazine, but you have car ads, you have
McDonald's,
exactly,
Sprite,
clothing.
Yeah.
So
it does keep things a little clearer. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll continue to monitor how this unfolds.
Yes. But we have no particular insight or clairvoyance into the matters at hand.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yes.